Welcome to PCMC Halloween 2025. Oh, the Halloween is all month long here at PCMC. You know that. You know that by this point. This show's been on like 8 years. We do Halloween episodes all month long. We've got Halloween specials coming out of our assholes. Take that. Who, you know, does anyone, it's us and The Simpsons. Does anyone else do Halloween specials? The Dana Gould podcast?
No, I think everyone's just sticking to Hanukkah and Christmas. Yeah.
Then again, I don't watch network TV. Maybe whatever Tim Allen's doing right now is like fucking got Halloween episodes. Who knows? Who knows? I'm here with the terrifying Nadia Cater. Killer Nadia Cater.
Thank you. Usually people say naughty and it makes me feel like a softcore porn actor.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, naughty's not a good spooky name. Happy Halloween, Nadia.
Happy Halloween, Mike.
So do you have any, what are your Halloween or Halloween season plans for this year?
Eat candy.
Yeah.
Watch spooky things.
Do you have any spooky things lined up? Or do you just say, I'm going to look at Shudder, I'm going to look around, see what looks good tonight?
So I end up watching Over the Garden Wall every fall.
Me as well.
Yeah. I don't have anything planned. Usually I do just like, okay, what's out there that I want to, maybe I haven't seen in a while or haven't seen it at all. I keep it loose.
Keep it loose.
Yeah, what about you?
There are some that get rewatched. It's a very movie heavy season. I've said this before. I think horror movies are the medium connected to Halloween, similar to the way like music is a medium connected to Christmas. Mm. Every year I watch Over the Garden Wall. There's an episode of PCMC about Over the Garden Wall. It's a Halloween episode. So go listen to it. Every year I watch Hocus Pocus at some point. There's also a Halloween episode of PCMC about that too. In general, I like to watch things I haven't seen before. So I kind of want to find stuff I haven't seen, you know, maybe catch up on things that I never got around to seeing. I've never seen any of the three Terrifiers, and I kind of want to because they sounded stupid to me, but maybe I'll see them. I don't know.
You know what has why I haven't watched Terrifier is because it just, from what I've read about it, and I know I'm judging something that I haven't seen, but it just looks like torture porn, and that is not for me.
No, I get it. It, yeah.
Like, I'm fine with gore, bloody horror stuff. You know, you and I both love that stuff so much, but when it's like torture porn, that's just where I draw my limit.
Yeah. I think the main reason I didn't watch it is because I have seen All Hallows Eve, which is a anthology movie, and one of the stories in that is Terrifier. It's where Terrifier came from.
Oh.
And it sucked, and that movie sucked. So I was like, well, I don't want to see more of this.
Yeah, why would you want the full version of that?
Yeah, like this wasn't very good. Yeah, it does have you know what? You know what's become a little bit of a Halloween tradition, VHS movies. Speaking of Halloween episodes, you and me did a Halloween episode on the VHS series way back when. There's been like 8 VHS movies since we did that. We're behind. I think we did every one to that point, which was like 3 or 4 maybe.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that was a Halloween episode a long time ago.
Actually, those are also, I would say those are really great Halloween watches, I would say, too.
The new one is called VHS Halloween.
Perfect.
And what was last year's? Was last year 85?
I think so.
And then there was 90. They're kind of just, you know, I love an anthology. There's always a few great ones, one shitty one, you know, but whatever, in 10 minutes there'll be another one. There'll be a new story anyway. And VHS, they're in this role now of like, they come out every Halloween. So it's like VHS, that's a thing. The last couple of years, I've rewatched Queer for Fear.
Oh, that's always great.
That's a great documentary. I've talked about a lot on the show. Black Noir is another great documentary to watch, and then it also gets you in the speed, the you know, spirit of the season.
I really wish that Queer for Fear, what they would do another season of that.
Yeah, it was good. But there's more you can do for sure.
I think so. I also think horror noir is another thing that they could have done more with. They could have had a there's
Sure, yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Oh, you know what might be fun? You ever watched Tales from the Hood?
No, but I wanna, where did I just hear about that? Something was, oh no, I read a book about weird movies and it was in there. And I was like, yeah, I've never seen this movie. I should watch it.
It's really weird.
It's good though.
I really enjoy it. I always find it a lot of fun. It's a little dense, and it's an anthology of black horror. So there's like multiple stories. So it's four. And some I think
Nice.
like four I think for an anthology, sometimes four can be a little long. I think you should, yeah, but overall, I think it's great.
The original Creepshow has like five.
Yeah, I felt like that was too much too.
There's
Like
too many. Yeah, there's a lot in that.
Creepshow movies also great for Halloween. Creepshow show great for Halloween.
Canceled now, though. That's done.
Oh, they canceled it?
Yeah, no more Creepshow show.
Well, they did enough of it. I feel like that was enough.
They did it for like years, though, right? I mean, it's been around.
I think it's been like 4 or 5 seasons. I feel like that's enough for a
Yeah.
show.
Yeah, I like anthology horror. Anthology horror is fun. I think horror does really well in short story format.
Yes, I agree.
But today we are talking about a movie that is described as a horror comedy kung fu movie. This is Mr. Vampire from 1985, produced in Hong Kong. The language the character speaking is Cantonese. The literal translation of the title is Mr. Stiff Corpse, which actually makes sense because no one ever says the word vampire in it. They do say zombie, but they never say vampire in it. It's directed by Ricky Lau. The story is by Ying Wong, Barry Wong. Sorry, it's written. The story is by Ying Wong. It's written by Barry Wong, Chek Hun Zetsu. It's pronounced Chek Hun and Ricky Lau. I feel like there's some setup to know before we get into this fun movie. This movie's fun. It's got real Scooby-Doo vibes.
Yeah.
Right? It's real. Even the main protagonist is very shaggy-coated. He's scared of everything. So, all right. So we have to talk about the Chinese mythology of the Zhangxi.
Yeah, so the Zhengxi, they use the term vampire, I think, because to make it sort of more accessible to Western
Yeah.
audiences. The Zhengxi actually isn't really a vampire. They kind of like feed on energy or chi,
Yeah.
but they're more like zombies. Like,
Yeah, for
but
sure.
even then they're not really zombie. It's like something very Chinese, like very out of our culture, but
Yeah.
it has changed over time to be very similar
Yeah.
to vampires. Yeah, so
It like in the 17th century body, I got all this from, oh, what's in the video I sent you? I want to give them a shout out because there's actually a really good series. They've been
it's called Storied, I think. It Monstrum. It's called Monstrum.
Monstrum.
It was put on by PBS. It was a really great it looks like it's a series just on different monsters,
Yeah.
mythologies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you look up monst like MONSTRUM Monstrum on YouTube, you can find a ton of them.
That's where I got this info from. And so in the 17th century, in China, bodies had to be buried in, you know, traditional burial grounds, but more and more people were migrating to cities. So you had to move bodies. So the folklore is that Taoist priests would actually animate corpses to move them. They would sort of bring them kind of to life and they would hop because they're stiff, right? And they can't really move their legs. So they would they would animate them just to make them hop, so they would all hop together to the where they're gonna bury them, and then they bury them. That's why sometimes people call this genre hopping vampire movies. And by the way, this movie did start a huge hopping vampire trend. This movie comes out, there's I think five or six sequels to this movie, but then there's like rip-offs and other hopping vampires. It just becomes a phenomenon, the hopping vampire. And again, it's Western to call it a vampire, because they're really not vampires. I'm gonna do my best with character names. So I first watched this movie about a year ago, and I watched it with subtitles. But then for this week, I knew I had to take a lot of notes, so I was like, let me watch the English dub. Just because I wanted to like just keep my eyes on the screen and on the notes I'm writing. And I got a lot out of it because there's this weird phenomena that happens where like if you're watching something that's very odd, let's say, or outside of what you are used to, sometimes on with if you're looking at subtitles, it almost like doesn't register the same way. I had the same problem when you and I did Paprika, because there's a lot of like nonsense talking in that. And it wasn't until I listened to English dub that I realized, oh, this is supposed to be nonsense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. This movie also, it's very Hong Kong. So like the movie does its best to try to introduce ideas, but then there are thoughts and ideas that I think they assume the audience will be just used to. Like hopping vampires. Like at the very beginning, there are reanimated corpses that are just there, and they're not really bad. They're just there, and you kind of like they just assume you would know it. A
Yeah, 'cause
lot
they're
of
just standing there with the
voodoo
yellow
paper.
paper on their heads, and you're like, what is going on?
For kids who like Dan to Dan, there's a lot of they use voodoo paper and stuff in Dan to Dan. You put the paper on the forehead and it curses them. This movie mostly takes place in, they call it a morgue. Or at least in the English dub, they call it a morgue, but I think it's more like a mortuary. It seems more like a place where they like sell caskets and like arrange funerals and stuff. But also in this movie, the master of the mortuary is depicted as being like a master of magic and kung fu and spells and sorcery and stuff, which is just fun.
I think it's like the movie kind of posits that that's part of the job.
Yes, yeah.
And but also there's a lot of assumptions being made because this was made for a Hong Kong Chinese
Yeah.
speaking audience. So there's stuff that you and I, like you said, it's a little hard, but it kind of there's another kind of, for lack of a better term, there's another priest that actually moves the bodies. And he knows what to do immediately, just putting all the yellow papers
Yeah.
and using the bell to move them and stuff
Yeah.
like that. And he
Yeah.
also, there's also something kind of funny because he says something about my, like, when they lose the control of the Jiangxi, he
Yeah.
says something almost like about, oh, my money or my pay, of like, oh,
Yeah.
if you don't bury these people, you're not going to get paid by their
Yeah,
families.
this is their business. He animates them and then moves. There's two master characters, and one is away for really the whole movie and then comes at the very end. He comes back and is like, "Oh, what's going on?" The protagonist, I believe, is named Choi. I think his name is like Charlie in the English dub. The English dub like really like changes names and shit. And Choi, I said, is very shaggy. He's an apprentice, so he's learning the business from Master Gao, and he's kind of naive and scared of things and kind of stupid and a little bit girl crazy. He's a fun protagonist.
He's also like kind of seen as a little late, yeah, like lazy.
Yes, for sure. And a little dim-witted. He's a comedy archetype.
Right, exactly.
There are actually two apprentices, Choi and Chow, which might become confusing. Chow is Choi's best friend. He is more enterprising. He's more handsome. He also has a job working in his aunt's shop. He has a subplot about falling in love with a ghost, which is its own thing. This movie's jam-packed with shit. So another thing that this movie I think assumes that you would know is the use of incense. They use incense to, like, I guess, like, calm spirits or calm. Like, at the beginning, Master Gao says to Choi, like, put incense on every casket. But every casket, like, it doesn't look like what you would see in the West. They almost look like tree logs. They look like wood, but they're not finished or varnished in any way.
Yeah, it looks like tree logs, like kind of tied together, almost like looking at like a flower shape on the side. It's really interesting.
And they all look like that.
Yeah, it's right. And also, there's a lot of the magic isn't really explained, or like the technique. So like painting the wires with like chicken blood and ink is supposed to like repel the evil forces, and it kind of, I thought that was a fun effect. Like this movie, I thought the special effects would be a lot worse than they were. I think like they did the best what they could. It was actually like really fun.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the effects were really cool.
Yeah, I guess I thought the movie was going to be dumber than it was, but it does have a goofy sensibility, but
It's
I think it,
goofy but not dumb.
yeah, exactly.
It's
It's
a
goofy.
screwball comedy.
Yeah.
And there's kung fu in it. I would have liked more kung fu because I do think when the action's there, it's good. There's some cool action, especially from Chow, the more handsome one. Choi doesn't really do any kung fu, but Chow does. And so does Master Gao.
Yeah, Choi's more like the physical comedy kind of foil. Yeah. But yeah, the fight choreography is really good. The wire, I really like that effect when the wire would hit a
It
supernatural
like
thing,
it
it would
almost like
blow it.
is explosive to them. It makes them
Yeah.
like blow back. There's a lot of
Yeah.
wire work in this movie. A lot of like people jumping and flipping and stuff. Clearly, like, and then they showed it slow motion. So in the beginning, you've got these, they're in the mortuary, and you've got a bunch of these corpses standing up, and they've got the yellow voodoo paper on their heads, which keep them from like walking wherever they want. And Chow comes in dressed as a zombie to scare Choi, and he's like, nah, it's just a prank. But then, as through whatever means, whatever, because it was a prank, something happens where the yellow paper falls off of the heads of the actual corpses, and they all start bouncing around. The two masters run in, and they do this interesting thing where they bite their fingers and make their fingers bleed, and then touch the corpses on the head, and that stops them too. Again, that's something that you just have to pick up watching it. Like, okay, I guess that also works. There's great fight choreography. Gao seems Master Gao, who's Asian guy, like he's definitely not as old as the making the character look. Like he's got like gray hair, and he has like one unibrow that's gray.
And big, it's like a straight line. And he's kind of cranky too. Like, I feel like that's a thing, like a
Oh yeah. Oh sure, yeah,
cranky
right.
master. Yeah,
You need the cranky guy with the doofy younger guy so he could like beat on him.
I
So they get all the yellow paper back on the guys' heads, and one of the masters, the one who's not Master Gao, is like, all right, I'm taking them, I'm going on a trip, I'm taking them to where I'm burying them. And there's a funny bit where one of the hopping zombies like can't get up on a stair. So like he like helps him, he like holds him and like helps him bounce up. He just keeps bouncing in place because he can't make the step. We meet a character named Ting Ting, who is this beautiful woman, and she's the son of Mr. Yam. Ting Ting, who in the American version is called Tina, she's beautiful, and they have money and they have land, and I think they also have like they know Western ways. Like there's a whole like bit where Mr. Yam and Ting Ting invite Choi and Mr. Gao to have tea.
To have
Oh, they have
coffee,
coffee,
and they didn't know what to do with coffee.
They were like, "What is they?" They were like pretending to know what to do, and like at like he takes it black and he hates it, and then they bring sugar and cream and they pour that on the cookies instead of them. It's so interesting from our point of view of like the bit is that. I guess they're more provincial than the Yam family, so they don't understand American style coffee. They understand tea, but they don't want to let on that they don't understand it.
Yeah, so like there's a scene where they're like Mr. Yam leaves and Ting Ting's there, and they have a kind of thing with her where they're treating her like a pretty girl, or but still as like she's just a woman. So she kind of plays a joke on them where they're trying to figure out what to do. So they watch her, and she drinks the black coffee and then drinks the creamer. So when her father comes back, they're drinking the black coffee and the creamer, and then they look, and she's putting the creamer in her coffee, like she's like, "I just made you look stupid."
It's kind of a weird bit because, I mean, you put cream and sugar in tea as well. So how could they be that how could they be that flabbergasted by
It makes me think that maybe at that time, I mean, I'm making assumptions, but maybe tea wasn't, maybe sugar and milk wasn't added till tea until a Western influence.
So Mr. Yam tells Master Gao that he wants to move his father, who would be Ting Ting's grandfather. He's been in the same grave for 29 years, and he wants to move to a different place because he thinks it'll bring good, like their business isn't doing well. So they think it'll bring for good fortune on them if they move where he is to a more traditional burial ground. There's a pretty fun, it's almost like it reminds me of Three's Company. There's a very farcical bit where we see Chow at his aunt's store. And he's like minding the store for her, and the aunt says something like, "You know, there's a brothel in town." She's like, "Some of the girls, or one of the girls from the brothel is gonna come by, you know, and they're gonna buy some makeup, whatever. Give them, you know, a discount or whatever it is." But Ting Ting is coming to the store to buy, I forget what, makeup. Oh, because we learned Ting Ting studied cosmetics in America or in the West. So she wants to just buy makeup, right? So she comes into the store and she on the street, she like bumps into Chow's aunt. So he thinks that's the sex worker. So the farce is he thinks she's a sex worker and she's not. So she comes in and she's like, "Can I look at makeup?" And he's like, "Okay, sure." And she starts putting on the makeup. He's like, "Oh, you're very good at that." And she's like, She and he's like, "I guess you have to be in your business." And then she's like, "Oh yeah, my mother taught me to do this when I was 8 years old." And he's like, "8 years old?" And this is a bunch of jokes like that. It's very Three's Company. It's very funny. Have you ever thought about quitting? She goes, "Oh no, if I lived to be 100, I'd still be doing it." You know, she's talking
And
about makeup, he's talking about sex work.
he kind of treat, and then he starts
Treats her
treating
like shit.
her, yeah, because you know, obviously she's a sex worker, and then
He's
like,
garbage. Yeah.
yeah. So she just doesn't have the best opinion of him, especially when they have to deal, when they have to work together later.
Yeah. But then Choi comes in, and Choi's like, his thing is like, he's like really into her. He has a big crush on her. And he like lets on that she's not a sex worker. And then there's this thing. This was a little bit. They go to Yam's grave. There are three generations of Yam in this movie. So there's Mr. Yam, there's his father who's dead and buried, who they call Old Man Yam, and then there's Ting Ting. They go to Old Man Yang's grave and they're exhuming it, and then Mr. Gao realizes that like a curse was put on him. So they have to like get rid of the curse first before they can rebury him somewhere, something something. This Old Man Yam is the Mr. Vampire of the title. They open up the casket and he looks like brand new. He looks like he hasn't like decomposed at all, which they say is part of a spell. But actually now throughout the rest of the movie, every time we see him, he looks grosser and grosser.
Yeah, like he's decomposing.
They say a fortune teller put a curse on the father's grave, which is why their business is doing bad and why they want to move it.
But sure, why not?
Okay. He tells the two apprentices, Chow and Choi, to stay there and like protect the grave, put incense around the grave. Both guys are interested in Ting Ting. Let's see.
There's something about where they were burying him too. Like you can, it's only, it's some sort of like some kind of consecrated ground that only works one time, so like they couldn't repeat it. So that's kind of like why they had to keep the corpse out of it and find a new place for
They bring
him.
the casket to the mortuary and they have to watch it. And this is when we first see Master Gao cut a chicken's throat, bleed it out, and then put ink with the blood, then set a grain of sticky rice on fire, throw that grain into the ink so it burns, and then you put it out, and then that's like magic ink. Okay, everyone with that? So then you put wire through that, okay? And you use that wire to combat, vampires. But also he tells the guys, like the apprentices, use the wire with the ink and put like a grid, almost like a checkered pattern, all over the casket so he can't get out. And this is another crazy thing that's very different for us. Gao says that Old Man Yam is a zombie, and they're like, how can he turn into a zombie? And Gao has a crazy line. He says, a man turns bad because he lacks spirit. A stiff turns into a zombie because he has too much spirit, which is, and but then he says, before a man dies, his breath is trapped in his body. If this breath remains trapped, it needs to find a way to escape. So literally in this mythology, you're a zombie because you've got breath trapped in your body, and you need to get the breath out of them, and then they won't be a zombie anymore. So they put line.
Why not? I mean,
Sure. I mean, all mythology, it's all weird. It's just not what we're used to.
I feel like that's what one of the things I got out of this was seeing how, very specific and odd ritual, but I'm like, who's to say anything we think of is weird? Like, why is a Western vampire repelled by garlic of all
Yeah, it
things?
makes no fucking sense.
It, or like a stake to the heart. I mean, wouldn't that kill anyone, anything with a heart? Like,
No, right. So, Chow, they cover the casket with this grid with like the ink, but they miss the bottom, okay, which becomes a problem later. He leaves. He's like, he's gonna go home on his bike. And that's when we first meet the ghost Jade, who we first meet her. She's in red, and she's actually being, what do they call these things? She is being, a palanquin. That's like you're like in a little box, and then there are
You're being carried. It's a form of
six,
transit.
and then
So
four
being
guys
able
will
to
put it
see
on
it.
their shoulders and carry you. It shows you're like you're royalty or you're important or something. So we see a bunch of like ghost looking guys, and then she's in there, and then she leaves there and like jumps, flies up to a tree, and then flies down onto the back of Chow's bike. He doesn't notice it. But she's like chosen him. And then the guys disappear. The ghost guys disappear. There's a stupid bit where he's on his bike, and there's a low tree branch, and he like ducks, and then it just hits her and she falls off. But that begins the subplot of Jade the ghost. We see Choi sleeping with a toy snake wrapped around him. I don't know what that is, what that means. Is it a joke? Is it a mythology thing?
I
They
don't
don't
know.
mention it. The atmosphere gets really fun and spooky. There's a lot of blue light and mist everywhere. Master Gao wakes up and goes to check Old Man Yam's coffin. The next day we meet Yam's nephew named Y. Y is sorry if this is confusing to you. Y is the chief of police, and he's like a bumbling idiot and a kind of a creep. So he is Mr. Yam's nephew, which would make him the great nephew of the vampire and the cousin of Ting Ting. That's important for you to understand, because he then proceeds to like hit on Ting Ting throughout the rest of the movie, despite being her first cousin.
Well, I feel like at the time period,
Maybe, but the movie makes him look foolish. Like, the movie makes it look like this is a creepy thing for him to do.
I'm not trying to like condone cousin romance or anything, but I mean, I feel like the attitude that cousin marriage or something is like a form of incest is actually really new.
Sure, I know. I think you can marry your first cousin, I think, in most states in the United States.
But sure, do what you want.
Do you? So here's another really interesting bit that turns into like a physical comedy. Chow, they're all the characters are together at Mr. Yam's house. And this character, Y, the police captain or whatever, he's like, telling his, he's like sort of trying to profess his love to his cousin, and she's like not having it. And Chow pulls a hair out of his head, and then him and Choi go outside, and Choi takes the hair and wraps it in that yellow voodoo paper and tells Chow, swallow it, and if you swallow it, then you can puppeteer why. So he swallows it, and then like he like slaps himself, and then you see Y slap himself in front of Ting Ting, and every basically everything he does, Y's doing, he like outside he like takes off his pants and starts undress, and that makes Y look like he's taking off his pants, and Ting Ting runs away.
I love that shot though of the you could see like Chow in the back and Yi and they're like imitating it like they're going at the same time. Like that was fun physical comedy.
Yes, yeah. No, that was fun. And it's really good. I mean, you could tell that there's kung fu, like people who work on kung fu in this movie, because even the com it's all choreographed. Like the comedy's choreographed, the fighting's choreographed. It's all choreography is really what's like driving all of the blocking and stuff.
It's just great. It's just a lot of fun. I guess I don't know what I was expecting from this movie, but I think more than I guess just from like talking to you about it now and like after watching it twice, I think it's more like I was expecting it to be dumber than it is, but it really is. It's goofy and it's careful and it takes its subject matter.
Yeah.
Like it treats it has fun with it. It's not so serious, but it the core is well done, just like seriously well done.
Yeah, I agree. It is, you know, it's got a lot of broad character archetypes, but that works for this kind of film. And it's screwball. I call it screwball. It has that sort of, I mean, screwball in American comedy is often based on, it was based a lot on dialogue. This is more based on, like, I guess slapstick's the right word, not screwball, slapstick. This is more
Yes.
slapstick. It's very physical. Excuse me. So at night, Old Man Yam breaks out of the coffin because they didn't properly seal it with all of the ink. And then he goes and attacks his son and kills his son. So now you've got Old Man Yam, the Mr. Vampire. He's out in the world. They've lost track of him. And now Mr. Yam is dead. Ting Ting's father is dead. And it happened in the house. And Y is there with the other cops. And Master Gao, Choi, and Chow show up. And they, like, Master Gao immediately knows, like, this was a zombie because his neck. It's interesting because it's similar to the Western idea of the holes in the neck for a vampire sucking your blood, but it's actually the long fingernails in the neck killing them. And then Y's like, okay, well, then whoever did it has long fingernails. And you see like every old man in the room has long fingernails and they like hide their fingernails. And then he blames Master Gao and he's like, oh, well, you're the prime suspect. So he arrests him. And he tells the two apprentices, okay, now we have two zombies. So be on the lookout for two zombies. He tells them another interesting lore thing. He says, hold your breath when you see a zombie and you'll be fine. So it's as if the zombies can't see.
Yeah, they can't. It's actually in the mythology, but it's not explained in the movie.
Okay.
They follow your breath.
Okay.
Yeah,
But that's
but
interesting because breath is part of it. Well, isn't breath chi? Isn't chi and breath like, isn't breath chi or breath is a symbol for chi or
something like that, yeah.
something? Okay.
I guess it's again, we're doing these similarities, but it would be like
Yeah.
luring a vampire with blood. Like if you're
Yeah.
bleeding, it would be more they would be more attracted to you
It actually reminds me of Jurassic Park where they're like be
know.
super still and the dinosaurs won't see you.
I wonder if that actually makes sense with any animals, or that was made up for a movie. Oh, I wanted to say something about the nails.
Yeah.
So the long pinky nails,
Yeah.
that's actually for drugs.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so like it's still a thing now. If you see someone with like one long pinky nail or two, it
Yeah.
the pinky nail you kind of use it to scoop like cocaine or crack, like, and that's like the perfect dose.
Carrie Fisher has a long pinky nail in The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, 'cause she's doing coke.
If she was coked out constantly.
Yeah. So like all so it's I mean if it's China, it probably was opium, but that's probably what they were doing. They were just
Yeah.
doing drugs all the time.
Okay, so that's the joke.
I don't know if that's the joke, but that's why they all have long fingernails.
Okay. But it also like they're trying to show him as a bumbling cop. Like he's a complete shitty cop.
Why is that always a trend, though? Like in horror movies, that is almost always the trend of like the stupid cop not acting the way he should or in the right moment and just
Listen,
being
at
like,
least in this it's comedy where it's like from the get-go that like this cop is very stupid. I mean,
yeah.
I think maybe it's he's supposed to be sort of provincial. You know what I mean? Maybe he doesn't deal with things, zombies too often.
I mean, you can argue that. It's
Yeah.
not part of the job requirement.
He arrests Master Gao and brings him to the police place, whatever, and puts him in a cell. And he says, "I'm gonna bring Mr. Yam's body so you can look at it and feel guilty, not to set up a action scene that's gonna happen." That's not the reason we're doing it. So we do it. He's there with the body. He, who's it? Chow comes to like try to break him out. And Chow brings the ink and voodoo paper and the sticky rice and all the stuff that he asked for.
Oh my God. What was so funny about that though is he was like, bring rice. He's like, okay, where's the sticky rice? Like, here you go. And he's like, you cooked it?
Yeah, he's
You
like,
gotta
"You
eat it
want it
while it's
now?"
hot.
And it's like a bowl with like steam coming off of it.
Yeah. So with this mythology, which again isn't totally explained, is like raw sticky rice can re also repels the
Yeah.
Jiangxi, but like cooked doesn't do anything. And regular rice,
No, yeah.
cooked or uncooked, does nothing,
Right.
which sets up the plot for later.
Another shtick later. So he, Master Gao puts his head through like a little slot in the bar, but he gets stuck. His head's stuck. So Chow's like, "Oh, I can help you get unstuck if you want." And he like pantses him. And that like makes him pull back and get his head unstuck. I have this bit that I do with Jen where if we're going out somewhere, I'll be like we went to a funeral recently, and I was like, "I really hope no one pantses you at this funeral." And she's like, "Why would anyone pants me?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, I agree. Like that would be crazy. Why would anyone do that? That's what I'm saying. I hope it doesn't happen. That would be nuts." And she's like, "But it's not going to happen." And I'm like, "Yeah, good. That's good. Positive thinking. It's not going to happen. I'm with you. It's certainly not going to happen." So I think pantsing is hilarious. I saw a really cute video recently of a baby. Like it was a baby, and the dad's like, "I'm gonna teach my baby how to walk." Like it's like a almost a toddler, and he's got on like shorts over his like big diapers, and he's like, "All right, you ready to learn how to walk?" And then he just pantses the baby, and you see his diaper, and he's like, "Ha, you lame ass!" It's hilarious. The kid has no idea what's going on.
Pranking babies.
Pranking babies, they don't even know. So the younger Yam, right? Mr. Yam, not Old Man Yam. He gets up, of course, because this is what the setup was. So he gets up and starts moving, and what do you call it? Gao is still in the cell, and something interesting, which is he's not bouncing though. He's just moving. Did you understand that?
I didn't. The only thing I could possibly think of is he wasn't dead long enough for Rick
Okay,
to
right.
start.
He's not stiff.
Yeah.
His bouncing indicates stiffness. Okay.
Because all the other corpses seemed older, too.
Okay, that does make sense. There's basically a pretty cool kung fu fight between Chow and Yam, which ends with him putting the voodoo paper on his head and freezing him. But then Y comes in and he's like, "What?" With the other cops, he's like, "What are you doing?" And then he removes the voodoo paper, so there's more kung fu, and there's a lot of fun wire work, people bouncing around, jumping around. Some of the fighting is like in fast motion to be, I think, more like kind of like exciting. But then a lot of the jumping and the wire works in slow motion. It looks really cool. There's a fun bit where the zombie is attacking Y, and he asks Master Gao for help. And Gao says, "Throw me the keys." And he throws him the keys, but Gao puts his head out through the bars to reach and catch him, and he gets his head stuck again. They put the voodoo paper back Yam freezes, Y exhales in relief, and when he exhales, the paper blows off again and he starts moving again. It's all choreographed. It's all like fun. He tells them all to hold their breath because the zombie can't tell where you are. So they all hold their breath, and but they're having a hard time doing it. Gao and Chao use the wire to trip Yam, and it like sparks when it hits him. They impale Yam, and then Gao then sets the voodoo paper on fire. I'm not sure how he does this, and he throws it on Yam, and Yam bursts into flames. So that's one zombie gone. There's a point where like, oh, this movie's wrapping up, but then there's a whole long subplot in the middle of a ghost woman.
Right. You know
Yeah.
what was interesting was like she wasn't a vampire or something, but again, she's also feeding off Chow. And that read more like the vampire myth, like classical of like she came at night or brought him somewhere at
Yes,
night.
yes.
And
Right,
he's like
right.
entranced by her and
Yeah,
he
it's
also
like
has
what we
a
see, what we saw in what's the movie we did? We did a movie on this podcast. Or was no, that was Japanese though. What was the ghost movie we did? Or it was like an anthology movie.
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember either. Look up on the feed, everybody. There's lots of episodes of this podcast. Let's see. Oh, this is a so now at the Yam residence, you've got Choi, the goofy one who's hanging out with Ting Ting. The old man, the old zombie, comes bouncing in. There's this funny bit where they hide in a closet and they have like a long piece of bamboo. So they hold their breath so he can't see them, but they aim the bamboo and then blow through it so he goes to where the bamboo is pointed. It's a really interesting bit. And then what happens? Oh, they put sticks in the zombie's nostrils so he can't smell their breath at all, and that like stops him.
Yeah, they can't. He can't find them. So I guess they smell the breath or the chi that people let out.
Yeah. Gao and Chao show up with the wire and like fuck him up with the wire. They set up a web using the wire and lure him into it, and it sort of shocks him and propels him across the room. The cops shoot at him. Y is shirtless and his uniform is destroyed in the fight with his zombie uncle, and he's just sort of like hysterical. Choi is hurt and they have to help him from becoming a zombie. So he becomes infected. And Choi, he's like gonna become a zombie, and there's a bunch of things that he has to do. One thing is he has to move constantly because if his blood coagulate, I can't say the word. What's the word?
Coagulate cult,
Yes.
something like
If
that.
his blood does that, then he'll turn into a zombie. So he's got to move constantly. So he's constantly dancing and moving. Also, he has to sleep on a bed of sticky, uncooked sticky rice. So they send Choi to go get rice, but then you see like the rice merchant and his family, and they're like, oh, so many people buying sticky rice today. There must be a zombie in this village. And the wife's like, we're almost out of sticky rice. And the father's like, all right, just mix it with regular rice. So they mix it with regular rice, so it doesn't really, it's not effective. And they sell it to Choi.
There's also that bit where they mix it. So I think like from context, it's like the sticky rice is more money, but
Yeah.
the rice seller's son is an idiot and he actually gives them way more than what they paid for, so they end up losing money anyway.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little stuff like that in this that's peppered in this movie. So it's not just slapstick. There's a lot of like
Yeah.
misunderstandings and
Yeah. Farcical stuff.
yeah, that's a good word.
So Chow is riding back to the morgue, and we see Jade, the ghost, and now she's wearing white. She forces some guy on the street. To like, she says, like, rape me, and he's like, what? What are you talking about? And she basically forces him through magic to attack her. So Chow will see it and intervene and like be her white knight. And then she takes him to her home and they have sex, or presumably they have sex. He tells there's a funny bit. He tells himself either he's dreaming or she's a ghost. Because he's like, this is too easy. She makes it rain so he can't leave, And she gives him a drink, which seems to have some kind of spell on him. Back in the morgue, Choi is asleep and has stopped moving. He wakes up and sees that his fingernails are long, so he's starting to turn into a zombie slowly. He cuts his nails when no one's looking, and he puts makeup on his face to look healthy. But that leads to a very, like, gender normative bit of, like, he's got makeup on his face, so he starts acting feminine.
It was unexpected kind of homophobia.
Yeah, you never know when it's gonna rear its head, you know? We see Old Man Yam is like in a cave covered in rats, and he looks really shit like bad, but he's like, I guess he's like, I don't know what he's doing. He's like building energy or whatever. So Gao figures out that Chow is like in the thrall of this female ghost. So while Chow is sleeping, he paints some figures on his chest, which will repel the ghost. So when Chow goes back to the ghost's house, Master Gao follows him, and when the ghost goes to embrace Chow, he opens up his robe and she sees the stuff on him, and it makes her fly across the room. Chow starts to try to rub it off. Gao comes in and he rubs herbs in his eyes so he could chew, so he could see the true face of the ghost, which is, that's another interesting thing. And she, half her face is like melted away and her eyes like coming out.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. Master Gao has a dagger made out of coins, and he has this magic box thing that he uses a lot. He uses his magic box thing to make the rays of the moon like focus down on the dagger, which will make it glow. Okay, everybody following that? So now Master Gao and Jade, the ghost, are having a fight. It's a pretty good fight. She has a long braid that she's using to like, as a whip, like to fight with. It's pretty cool. At one point, she ducks and pops back up, and her hair is all spiky, and then her head flies off at Master Gao.
That was wild.
Yeah.
That was
It gets crazy. Her headless body grabs Gao from behind, but he kicks the magic dagger and like kicks it up towards her head, which stops her. Jade wakes Chow up, asking him. Where's she dreaming shop asking? Oh, asking for him. He uses magic to make Gao look like Y, the cop. So what's the bit here? I can't remember. I'm looking at my own notes. He makes. Oh, she. Okay, so she makes Master. She makes Master Gao look like Y, the cop. So Chow will be like, "Fuck this guy! Why is he here?" And like attack Gao. Okay. Jade flies out the window and the house starts getting destroyed, but really it's going back to what it really looks like, which is like this old abandoned house. And then this is what I think the real part that made me laugh out loud, where Gao's like, this was a ghost. And Chow goes, ah, oh, I knew it was a ghost. It's a reference to the line he said before. But then he says he would have died of exhaustion if he hadn't saved him. So I guess the ghost like fucks you to death.
I think it's kind of like a ghost, but also like a succubus.
Sort of like steal your spirit.
But I think she also like, I don't know, it's either here or there, but I think she also had feelings for him. So I think it's more of like an obsessive love.
Okay. Yeah, she's not bad necessarily. The next night, they think the ghost is gonna come back. So in the mortuary, they tie up Chow to a chair so he can't come to her if she calls him. But also at this point, Chow now has long blue fingernails and dark bags on his eyes, so he's like basically becoming a zombie. Jay does show up. Gao uses some sort of ghost compass to detect her. She calls Chow's name and he wants to go to her. Choi becomes a zombie. So there's this amazing fight between Chow, who's tied up to a chair, and Choi, who's a zombie, because he's like, he keeps moving the ch like he'll come at him and then he'll like flip the whole he'll move his body and flip the whole chair over in one way. It's really interesting. Jade flies in and saves Chow from zombie Choi. Gao is still trying to fight Jade, and Chow is still trying to protect her. Gao throws some sort of like jacket or blanket thing with a yin yang on it on top of Jade, and it stops her. And Chow begs Gao, Master Gao, to let Jade go. Master Gao says, you know, it's your choice, you do what you want. And I guess he lets her go. I can't remember.
He does, but I feel like I'm not really sure why.
I think he feels sympathy for her. Well, anyway, the old man Yam leaves the cave and heads toward them. He's no longer bouncing. Again, I don't totally get the rules here. Maybe he was like in the cave, he was becoming. Well, he looks worse, but maybe he's stronger even though he looks worse because he's not bouncing anymore. But anyway, this is like the kind of end fight. Let's see. There's a funny bit where Chow is using a file to file down Choi's fangs because he's a vamp. He's a zombie slash vampire now. They find a new victim of Old Man Yam and they put him on a funeral pyre so he doesn't become a zombie. So that's another way to not become a zombie, to burn somebody. Old Man Yam comes to the house. He steps on some sticky rice, which like burns his feet. At this point, every character, all the main characters in the movie are at the house. They all fight the zombie. He's really powerful now, so they don't have to like fight him, and it's really good choreography. Every time someone hits him, dust comes out, which is fun. The other master from the first scene shows back up, and he's got some bouncing corpses with him, and he uses them. He sets them on the main vampire to go to help them. The zombie trips over some sticky rice, and the two masters and Chow grab his arms. Gao tells Y, suck the breath out of the zombie's mouth. Like, basically, put your mouth on his, suck the breath out, and now defeat him. So he tries to do it, but he gets gay panic and he freaks out. And then Ting Ting tries, but it doesn't really work. But then they start, like, beating the shit out of him with these giant pieces of wood. What happens? Oh, they drop a chandelier on him and he gets set on fire. And this is really good firework. Like, setting someone on fire is one of the most dangerous things you could do in a movie because you have to film in super slow motion because you can only do it for like 20 seconds. But he's moving around a lot, so they must have done this a bunch of times. And then the zombie's defeated, and that's the end of the movie. Now, did we all get all that? A lot of stuff happens.
There's a lot of stuff happened. One scene that is so absurd that I forgot about until just now, but like there's a scene where the bumbling cop takes a bunch of his other cops to go find the zombie, and they're looking at
Yeah.
these different caves. They go in a cave and they immediately scream and run out, and you think it's the zombie, but then it turns out to be a
It's a bear.
gorilla.
Oh, gorilla. That's right. It's a
It was
gorilla.
a guy in a gorilla suit,
The
but I
world.
mean, which I'm like, are gorillas just in China? I don't know. But then in the cave next door, you see the zombie sleeping. Like they
Yeah.
just went to the wrong cave.
Yeah.
It's very silly.
And let me count up how many sequels this movie has. This was 1985, followed by Mr. Vampire 2, Mr. Vampire 3. Oh, they're making them every year at this point. Mr. Vampire 4,
They're really popular.
Mr. Vampire 1992. Okay. That's what it's called, Mr. Vampire 1992.
Why not?
Encounter of the Spooky Kind.
That came out before it, actually.
Oh, 1980. Okay, yo, so that's just part of this. Oh, but then there's a movie in. Wait, how is this?
There's a
The
lot of these movies.
new Mr. Vampire? But how could that be? It's only this year after. There's just a lot of these hopping vampire, hopping ghosts, hopping zombie movies. It was just a lot of fun.
People were buck wild for them. Like, we all went crazy for vampires for a while.
Yeah, I want more hopping stiffs in movies. I like this. I like this. I want to bring this mythology into more Western stuff. I think it's a lot of fun. I'm a little bored of like, vampires with garlic and then silver bullets for a werewolf. Let's let some hopping stiffs in there.
Let's do something different.
Yeah. And I'm very bored of what do you call it? Zombies. Like George Romero zombies.
Oh yeah, I'm so bored of
Yeah.
we got so many.
We've done it. We did it. It's done. So you chose this. What made you choose this movie?
I wanted to pick something really, really weird.
I'm for it. I'm for it.
I was like, let's do something that's really outside of what we've done before. And I think hopping vampire movie is really unusual.
Will you watch any more hopping vampire movies?
Yeah, actually, I want to watch Encounters of the Spooky Kind.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was actually directed by Sammo Hung, who is a
Oh,
martial
right.
artist. Yeah.
I might have seen part of this.
I think I've seen clips of it. I haven't seen the whole thing,
It's
but
on Criterion. And so is
yeah.
Mr. Vampire. All these things are all on Criterion, which is great.
Which is really funny. It's like, sure, what?
Yeah, sure.
I think it was like the Halloween showings from like a year or two back.
Right. Around Halloween, they'll have every month Criterion has new collections and stuff. It's a very different model from a lot of other streamers. And yeah, I think Mr. Van the Hopping Vampire stuff was last Halloween, but it's still all on there.
Yeah, if you have Criterion, please go ahead.
It's worth it.
It's fun. I think it's great for the spooky season because it's like it's not really scary, but it's just
It's got the vibes. It's got the vibes. It's got zombies and darkness and flying ghosts and misty graves and it's got the visual aesthetic that you're looking for.
absolutely. And I definitely want to watch more hopping vampire movies. I want more mythology outside of the Western canon.
I
I think
agree
we're
with you.
ready for it.
I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah.
Well, Nadia, you're the hopping vampire of this podcast. And I want to thank you for hopping on to yet another Halloween episode.
I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so glad you do Halloween episodes.
It's what I live for. It's what I live for. Really, we think about Halloween all year round. There's discussions all year round about what's Halloween going to be this year, what are we going to do? And then they start to get really serious like around June.
So, like Shudder, you're like celebrating 6 months till Halloween.
Well, no, it's more like, guys, we're 6 months to Halloween. Let's fucking get it together. We got to plan these days. And depending on the calendar, some Octobers have four, we come out every Wednesday, and you should know that. But some Octobers have four Wednesdays, some have five. So we've had a couple of fives lately. So we are, that's one more to enjoy. Nadia, thank you so much for coming on PCMC. We actually, believe it or not, end every episode by saying,
Go bye bye.